the Fan on Demand. The Rap. With Eric Smith and Paul Joel Jones.
Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The Raptors tonight winning this ball game 105-96 over the Denver Nuggets. And the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell. Again, Toronto winning by 9, 105-96. Jonesy will join me in just a couple of moments as we broadcast live from inside Real Sports Apparel. Andrea Bargnani with 26 points in the ball game, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists as well. Jose Calderon went for the double-double with 10 points and 10 assists. And the double-double coming in the second unit as well, with Gary Forbes going for 11 points and 10 rebounds. The Raptors out-rebounding the Nuggets 49-43, earning their 17th victory of the season, now 17-34, as they get set for the Miami Heat coming up on Friday, and that will be a big one, no doubt about it, as Toronto will entertain the Heat, and the gong show will come to town with the big three.
The gong show. Yeah, look for that guy. Look for that guy, Chuck Barris, Gene, the fat guy, the dancing machine, because it will be a gong show.
Hey, by the way, seeing as you brought it up, just totally off topic for a second.
All right.
Chuck Barris, gong show.
Yes.
Was he actually an undercover CIA agent?
I don't know.
You've seen the movie,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes, that I don't know. But, well, maybe we should find out.
I don't know. Are you ever actually going to find out about an undercover CIA agent? And look at me, I'm going to Jonesy for my pop culture news.
No, come on, that was pop culture from the 80s, so I'm in, right?
All right, I'll cut you a little bit of slack then. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell.
Are those TFC fans?
No, those are Raptor fans. You can tell they're Raptor fans. See, he's got the air horn.
He's got the horn.
But it's Toronto.
Reminded me of like an arc back in my youth as an Argo game.
Let's grab some phone calls right here. TFC is in action right now. We'll keep folks updated on that. Apparently, it's a big game tonight. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your side. Hey, did you know Aston Duport, our man here, was a big soccer legend?
I didn't know that.
Division II.
Wow.
NCAA. Who knew?
Who knew? We knew him when.
Well,
with Toronto FC having difficulty,
that's why we didn't know, right?
Having difficulty finding the back of the onion bag. Get your cleats on, man. Get out there.
They could use them. Chris in Burlington, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how are you? Listen to the
3-2-1, Chris. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I faintly have you there.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah, I listened to the last quarter in the car here. And I'm really enjoying actually listening to sports on the radio, the hockey and the baseball. But anyways, what I want to say is throw this out there. Coach of the year, Dwayne Casey. If he had a full roster, like if Bargnani hadn't been injured for so long, and with the number of close games they've had, I'd like to think they'd be in the same position Denver's in out in their division, probably around fourth place. What do you think?
Well, thanks for the call. Look, we were in Dallas, what, third, fourth game of the year? And people laughed at Rick Carlisle saying he was just being Dwayne Casey's buddy. But he did say that he thought Toronto could be in the mix the way the East is. And you're right. I mean, they didn't have a healthy roster. Bargnani missed 20 games. And I'll tell you, Dwayne Casey is coaching his butt off. He really is. He is squeezing everything out of this team. And had they been around 500, he could have got the kiss of death, the coach of the year. Remember, Doc Rivers won it with an Orlando team that was 41-41. Not necessarily a team that you would look at, winning team coach of the year. I think it's what you get out of your talent, and Dwayne Casey has got a lot. Unfortunately, not all the time resulting in wins.
Hey, did it again tonight as well when you think about what the Raptors did with two guys from the D-League call-ups on 10 days, playing significant minutes and knocking down some shots as well. Allen Anderson, 7 points, one rebound, one assist. Ben Uzo, statistically not necessarily jumping off the page, Jonesy, 5 points, one assist, one rebound. But both playing some solid minutes overall as well. Happy birthday to Kat. Is that Kat right there? Happy birthday, Kat, as we've got some fans walking by here in front of our post-game location inside Real Sports Apparel. Little shout-out there, Jones?
Yeah, happy birthday, Kat. I didn't know. I'm thinking, like, is that, like, the Kat as in Jamal McGlure?
No, this is one of them, right? One of you Kat? You're Kat?
No.
You're not Kat.
No, that dude is not Kat.
All right, well, we'll figure out who Kat is in a second. 416-870-0590.
Oh, she's not here, apparently.
666-0590, star 590 on your cell. All right, happy birthday to Kat, who's not here. Back to the calls we go. We go to Paul in Bowmanville. You're on Sportsnet 590. Go ahead, Paul. Paul, go ahead. We're having, like, an issue with the phones or something tonight. Paul, are you there?
See them trading their draft pick this
year. Hey, Paul, let me cut you off for 1 second. Hold on.
Established veteran.
Paul. Paul, you there? Hello. Is he there? I didn't hear a damn word that he was saying.
I did. And he asked about trading the draft pick to get an established veteran. The tank would drive right to your house, Paul, and blow you up. Because that's all everybody wants is the high draft pick. I think you're going to get a good pick this year. And it doesn't matter where you pick in the lottery. As a matter of fact, we've talked about this. Sometimes it's okay if there's, you know, four or five guys and you're not sure, somebody decides for you. I mean, sometimes that works out as well. But in some years, I can see the draft pick being packaged and traded for an experienced vet. I don't think they would do that this year, only because they're going to have money to spend with the potential amnesty in the back pocket to increase that amount of money to spend to go and get an experienced free agent vet. So I don't think you need to trade the pick this year. Get the pick. It's going to be a good one. Select a guy. Develop him. But the key is, and we've always said this, get somebody good with that money to spend. I'm looking at the Nuggets, Eric, and their roster as we talk about that. You look at the guys they have with the logjam, with, you know, they've got, and I'm not saying trade these guys, but Fareed, McGee, you think of Mozgov, Jordan Hamilton, from all accounts in Denver, from people that are with the organization, this guy's going to be a player. So if he gets on the floor, then who moves? Aflalo, Harrington, Brewer? They like Costa Kufos. They just signed him to a huge deal, extension. So maybe they are a team that will package some people and try to get a little bit better. So,
well, and that's when we talk about over the years how important pro scouting is and the fact that for all teams.
Yes.
Maybe some more money and time should be invested in the pro scouting, because it seems like anytime you talk about getting better, it's, oh, the draft. Well, what about pro scouting via what you do to pinpoint guys around the league that maybe aren't playing significant minutes that you think could fit into your system that would be diamonds in the rough, in a sense, or guys that need that fresh start or just a start period because they haven't been able to get on the floor or see some significant time?
Well, look at Jared Bayless, a guy that people are now thinking, what's Toronto going to do next year with him?
Yeah.
He's been evaluated. It got truncated because of the injury. But there's a decision to be made with a guy who could, or some people think could not, be a player with this team going forward. He came off somebody's bench. He was a result of pro scouting. I mean, I think the best job, one of the best jobs the Raptors ever did with that was when they plucked Keon Clark off the bench in Denver. And he became like a legend, solid, yeah, rotation player here in Toronto. So yeah, you've got to have your pro scouting down. You've got to know who you're looking at. Collect the information and go from there. But this year, Paul, to your question, I don't see the pick being packaged or traded or moved in any way because they do have money to spend.
And Toronto has 2 second rounders this
year,
don't they?
Yes.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Back to the calls we go. Victor in Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590. Go ahead, Victor.
Hey, good evening, gents. You know what? Let's stay along that line of thought in terms of what do we do going forward in terms of development. Like, I think this year, like, you know, as fans, we're in it for wins, right? But let's be realistic. We want to see how the team is developing and what they're doing and how the young guys are developing, the culture change and all of that. Now, the one thing that's missing is that solid veteran, right? And we don't seem to have that. And, I mean, Colangelo tried really hard last year in trying to get Chandler and Barnes, but, you know, he got thwarted. Now, this year, a guy's coming, is going to be, not this year, next year, Antawn Jamison. I just want your honest opinion. Like, do you think that guy has anything left, and could he bring anything to the Raptors? And it's not Antawn Jamison. I don't want the guys like a Keon Clark. I think we need a guy a step above that, like a Jamison, like an Oakley, like a Barnes, like a, you know, that type of guy. Is there any guys out there like that? And comment on Jamison, because, listen, we could have had him instead of Vince Carter. We did have him instead of Vince Carter. So what do you think, guys?
Thanks. All right, hey, Victor, two nights in a row. Thanks for the call, man. I'm monitoring you, too, so that's great. I was using Keon Clark as an example of pro scouting. I'm not saying go for a guy like that, but you do have to find, I mean, if you're looking at that, you do have to find a guy who you think can fit your system and make a significant contribution if he's on somebody's bench. I wonder if Antawn Jamison's at the point now, what is he, 12, 15 years in the league?
14 years.
Somewhere in there, 12 to 15.
Yep.
Would he, I mean, he's already part of a building project in Cleveland and wasn't moved. If he is a free agent, I don't know that for sure. I'd have to check the contract. I'm just kind of taking your word, Victor. Would he not want to go, you would think, to more a contending team? Do you not think he's had enough or parts of it? I mean, he was in Washington when they were trying to build. He was in Cleveland. They're trying to build. A terrific guy. And Eric, both you and I know Antawn Jamison a little bit.
Great guy.
A real solid professional. But Victor, and it's not a case of if he doesn't want to come here because it's Toronto, I think he wouldn't want to go to a team that is, he perceives, or might be still a few years away from winning at that stage of his career.
I would agree with that assessment, Jones. And still a productive player. Good guy, good locker room guy, might be the right kind of vet for a young team. But in terms of the position he plays, the role that he would likely play on a young team that at least let's deal with the reality right now. Bargnani, Valanciunas coming over, who knows what happens in the draft, what might come of Davis and Amir Johnson if they're both back, James Johnson, his ability to play multiple positions at the 3 and 4 in the front court. I don't think that's a spot you necessarily need, thus I don't want to go after a veteran just because he'd be great in the locker room that might be eating up time in the backcourt, or excuse me, in the front court from some of my younger core just because I need that right veteran or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Good guy, but I don't think he'd be the right fit overall, Victor, but I appreciate you bringing up the name. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Peter in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Peter.
In regards to the last caller, I mean, you know, we do need a vet, but at the same time, we're still, you know, lacking way too much talent, you know, to prioritize Redner, especially someone as washed up, with all due respect, as Antawn Jamison. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, obviously you guys preach winning culture, and I think that's important. You know, at the same time, I think from my perspective, and I think a lot of Raptors fans' perspective, you know, winning culture is good if you're winning 40 games and, you know, making the 8th seed. I think the difference between, I don't know, 24 and 28 wins isn't so huge. And, you know, I mean, from my perspective, I want to see us get the best pick possible. It's possible that, you know, regardless if we get the 4th or 7th pick, Colangelo can get his man. But, you know, it's difficult to watch and cheer for wins when it almost seems like there's more incentive outside of the winning culture perspective.
Peter, let me jump in for 1 second. I'm not cutting you off.
Stay on the line, Peter.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
All right. Stay on the line because I want you to respond as well, okay?
I shall, yeah.
Here's the question I have for you, though. And listen, neither one of us, some people would disagree, probably including our wives, neither one of us is stupid, all right? What we've said all year, and Jonesy, you tell me if I'm wrong and kind of speaking for both of us. We both acknowledge and accept that in all likelihood, a high draft pick, a top five quote-unquote pick, is what ultimately likely will happen and maybe what is best for the Raptors. However, I think when we talk about being anti-tank and trying to win, it's from the perspective of, and this is where I go back on you, Peter, put yourselves in the shoes. Peter, you're a member of the Toronto Raptors right now, and you're going out on the floor every day, and you're trying to win games. You don't care about Anthony Davis potentially being your teammate next year. You're wearing every loss on your record that comes along. If you're not a Raptor player, you're Dwayne Casey. You're coaching to win every single night. You're not coaching to lose. So the problem with pro tank is if you take it literally, we hope we lose so we can get a higher pick. That means you're basically implying the players and the coaching staff should go out and try to lose and or simply be happy with losing or be content with losing. And you know from being a fan that that's not reality. No coach, no player is going to be happy with losing and going through the pain of losing for an entire season. That's where we talk about being anti-tank and trying to win, because you can't go out and intentionally lose.
Yeah, no.
Would you if you were a pro coach or a pro athlete?
You can. I agree 100%. You have way too much pride, and you know it's not the right thing to do. I mean, I didn't mean to implicate.
No. You're not. We're having a conversation.
You were mistaken. Yeah, absolutely, but I agree, and you know I want Dwayne Casey as my coach, as a passionate coach, to try to win. I'm just speaking like strictly from a fan's perspective that I. You know, I obviously they're going to play with passion. They're going to try to win. You don't want players that aren't hurt by losses. You know, you want players with pride that, you know, that are affected by these losses that really want to win. But at the same time, you know, obviously like, you know, you mentioned and, you know, I feel the best thing from the Raptors is to lose. With that said, I agree 100% that, you know, as players and especially as a coach, you need to play passion. You need to play to win. And there's no other possible way. You can play. So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what you said.
And that's a great point. Thanks for the call, Peter. And I think maybe the way to look at it is the high draft pick is kind of a consolation prize for absorbing the losses. But you're right. I'm Eric says you got to go out. You got to try and win. If you're changing the culture, you're changing the culture to win, and winning is part of the culture change. So there's never a bad time to win. Winning is always good. I know some people are like, you know, lose or last fast or it doesn't matter. You know, tank, get the pick. That's great. But that pick, there are very few guys that come in their first year and make a huge difference in terms of making the team a playoff team. You know, somebody took me to task on Twitter and misinterpreted what I said. Not that Durant isn't a franchise changer. He was. He is. But that team bled for 2 or 3 years while Durant was learning how to win. And now they are at the point where they've still won, what, only 2 playoff series? But they're a championship contender. But look at what they've done. They've got veterans. Derek Fisher, Kendrick Perkins. They've got guys. Nick Collison, who was with them in Seattle. So the pick is good. You got to develop them, and you need the whole ball of wax to go forward.
All right, we'll take the break. Get the 10 o'clock sports update. Come right back to your phone calls. If you're on the line, stay there. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Back in mere moments with more of your calls on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Here till 11 o'clock, top of the hour coming up, so lots of time to talk. If you want to get in on the conversation, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight knocking off the Nuggets. Final score, 105-96, so a big win for the Raptors as they snap a 9-game losing streak to Denver with this win. Andrea Bargnani leading the way with 26 points in the ball game. And again, till the top of the hour.
And they got pizza.
Yes, we're just reminded by a fan. So they got their pizza. So make sure
win.
You head on out tomorrow.
Pizza and a win. So that's all
See,
right.
See, that makes it even better. Maybe that's what should be the full pizza.
I think it should be.
Get a slice
too.
If they lose and get 100, but you get the whole pizza if they win.
Easy, Stan.
I'm just doing all the marketing now for pizza.
Stan's probably had a few pieces of pizza, hasn't he?
Well, I had pizza for dinner tonight myself. In fact, it was even pizza. Is that what you're supposed to say? Pizza?
Yeah.
Anyways. Kat Butko, happy birthday from Niagara. All right?
That was the cat that we were assigned. Okay.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Alec and Barry, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Alec.
Good. I just wanted to start off by saying that I'm absolutely thrilled about the product that I'm seeing on the court. I think...
Thrilled with what?
As I've said before, specifically, I am absolutely thrilled. I hate to use this word again, but culture. I'm thrilled with the hard work that's being put in. I'm thrilled with the fact that DeMar, regardless of what the refs see or what they want to call, he continues to be aggressive. I'm thrilled that somebody like Forbes is going out there, and as you guys touched on it, has been an Achilles heel for us before, but from the two spot or the three spot, he's getting those mid-range rebounds. And I am just overall thrilled with the hustle of this team. And yes, a lot of the credit goes to Dwayne Casey, I think, without a doubt. But I think we should give the guys a lot of credit too for buying into this system. And for really, really believing in what it is that he's preaching. But what I just quickly wanted to get your guys' thoughts on was in particular about Mr. Colangelo. Now, last time that we had something good going on back in 07 with a division title, I was thrilled. And then I was naive as well. Hito Turkoglu, I was very thrilled. We all saw how that panned out. I'm really, really concerned, to be honest, because as you guys talked about prior, we have the financial capabilities to go out and get a guy, be it a Barnes or, as the previous callers talked about, Jameson, whoever the case may be. We got the sources to go get a pick. I think that's irrefutable, too. I am really, really nervous because I don't know how Brian is going to handle himself. And I love this nucleus here, and I love what the guys are doing. And I am, again, I want to know, how much pressure do you guys think that he's going to be under in this offseason? Because if he missteps, should the guys from Rodgers and Bell, should they show him the door?
Well, here's the thing. He was signed to a two-year deal, and appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, I was going to touch on something else first. Do you want, before we get to that?
All right.
The point about the culture, and it is, the guys do deserve credit for buying in. But again, that comes from the top. And again, we saw somebody from Denver tonight that looked at Dwayne Casey and said, yep, there's a foundation here. And that's what's happening. Now, sorry, Eric, I didn't mean to cut you off with...
Well, he was signed to a two-year deal.
Yeah.
And this was year one. So going into next year, and this is, I think Jack Armstrong made a comment or something the other day during the television broadcast. Obviously, we're busy doing the radio. We didn't hear the TV, but I had a couple of people hit me on Twitter about this. And I understand where Jack was coming from with this statement. And I think Jack's driving home right now, I think, or he will be soon finishing the TV. And I'm going to be kind of paraphrasing him. I believe, based on what I was told from some folks on Twitter, that he made the comment that it might be a good idea to extend the contract at this point, even if it's simply just 1 year. And I get that mentality, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, because as much as this year has not been a solid year in terms of wins versus losses on the floor, if management, or should I say ownership, believed the two-year deal, they knew what the plan was going in. They knew it wasn't going to be a quick fix. They had to know that there was going to be moves made to continue to rebuild the team, to get the right pieces in place, to bank on the draft pick that wasn't going to be playing this year, to look ahead to this year where there would likely be another high pick coming with money to spend, with wiggle room coming financially. So at what point, if you're from the school of thought, no, you gotta prove it, and if you don't, you're done. Are you going to be able to say 10 games in, 20 games, 40, 50, 60, 70 games in, or at the end of next season, that you already were expecting this massive quick turnaround essentially in 1 year, in a year and a half? Because my point is, those that will say, well, hold on a second, it's not a year and a half, it's 6+ years.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a different era.
It's a different era, but it's also B, it's, I'm talking about from the point that he was re-signed. So if you believe that he was the man to run the show when you re-signed the contract, and you knew where your team was and their lot in life at that point, you knew exactly what was being done and what blocks were going to be put in place, and those blocks have been put in place. And now you're going into an offseason where, because of a deal with Barbosa, he's orchestrated or set himself up to have a lot of wiggle room via trade prior to the draft, likely a high draft pick coming, couple of second-round picks, then money to potentially spend in free agency, or even more money to spend if he chooses to amnesty someone.
Well,
I'd say, yeah. I can understand the mentality of give him at least another year to look at what was put together, and now are you truly taking that next step? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonesy, after this year, I don't know that even Brian Colangelo, let alone ownership, will expect this team to go from, I'm throwing out an arbitrary number, 22 wins again.
In a 66-game season.
To 46 wins next year and a playoff team. But it will have to be a step forward. I don't think there will be another year of total rebuild under 25 wins that's acceptable. So it's that kind of fine line, right? I don't know if you'd agree.
And I agree totally. And my analogy would be, it's like going to dinner, and the guys just set the table and bought the groceries, and you're saying, okay, well, I'm waiting for dinner. Well, you got to give me a chance to cook it. You got to give me a chance to put this thing together. And it's a different era, because everybody will say, well, he's been here, you know, 5 years. And wait a minute, those other 5 years, you had a guy in place in Bosch, and you were trying to do something with that in mind and with that in place. And in two of those 5 years, you made the playoffs. Should have been three, but in two of the four, you made the playoffs. Now he's gone, so you've got to start all over. So.
Right.
It's unfair to look at, in my eyes, to look at the whole era together. They're two separate ones because you have two distinct set of circumstances that you're dealing with. I would like to see this continue to move forward, and I don't think it would be fair. Just because of the way the contract was structured, I don't think it would be fair to not pick up the option. Again, why? Because this is a 2-3 year window without Bosch, as opposed to the time that you had Bosch. Last year was a development year. You didn't have him. You tried to develop. You tried to make some moves, and it crashed. This is the proper rebuild that you're into now. So I don't think you can cut it off after a year, year and a half.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Albert in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Albert.
Good. Just a quick comment or just your thoughts. After tonight, what's your thoughts on Gary Forbes since he's joined the Raptors, and what do you see him in Toronto's future plans, especially since DeMar DeRozan has been so inconsistent as of late? Thanks.
Appreciate the call. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get totally, you know, fired up or whatever after four or five games for Gary Forbes. But at the same time, I think that you look at the fact that Forbes has played well when finally given an opportunity to play, Jonesy. But, you know, can you project and say suddenly you're going to just, you know, discontinue DeMar DeRozan after 3 years and say, no, we're going with Gary Forbes? Now, I think let's just say this. Depth is a good thing. Gary Forbes has got a multi-year deal. He's here already under contract for next year, so you don't have to worry about him going anywhere. You've got him signed. That's that.
Look, the people are making, I think, too much of the, quote, inconsistency by DeMar. Yeah, he's got his nights where he's up and down, but, again, he's the guy that they're game planning for. And if you put other people around him, he gets better. I mean, he's one of many instead of the guy, he and Andrea, that they you know, are planning or game planning to stop. So I'm not going to make a big deal of that. Outside, on the other side of that, Gary Forbes, I think he's really come on. I think he has really come on. He's becoming more and more comfortable in the system with the roles that he has, with the roles that he's been given. And we said this when he was first signed, Eric. We think he's a guy that's going to stick here and has a chance to be here when this team is good. He's not, you know, a quick fix kind of guy. He's a guy that they're going to nurture, bring along, try to develop as a player who you would still consider a young player in the league, a young veteran, a young player. He's been in the league, 2 years? Has bounced around, played in Europe a little bit. Give the guy a chance, and I say this all the time. People develop on different timetables.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll step aside for a quick update on the 20 sports update, then come back to your phone calls, plus get reaction later on before 11 o'clock from the locker rooms as well. Eric Smith, Paul Jones, it's The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Toronto beating Denver tonight, 105-96. Andrea Bargnani, 26 points. He had 10 in the first, 10 in the fourth. Slow in the second and third, but hey, he bookended the game solidly for the Raptors and helped close it out as the Raptors hold the Nuggets to 3 of 20 in the fourth quarter. Denver scoring, only 11 points in the final frame, and again, losing by 9, 105-96. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Back to the calls we go. Thomas in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thomas.
Good night, guys.
Hey, Thomas.
Jonesy, I have a question for you.
I'm all ears.
And as you go off on this Colangelo thing again, which I vehemently disagree with you on, because I think it's ridiculous at some point, at what point in any business sector do we divide an executive tenure into two parts? I totally can't understand that. I can't. If you can reconcile that for me, please do. And I have another question.
Stay on the line, because I will say this. The first part, trying to build or do something with Chris Bosch, simple to me, is different than trying to do something without Chris Bosch. If he's your cornerstone and you're trying to, you know, you get guys in, whether it be Turkoglu or Jermaine O'Neal or Sean Marion or what, you're trying to get guys around that fit that piece with Chris Bosch. And then when he's gone, you've got to start over to me. You can't look at the two parts as equal, because you don't have the same pieces. It's playing one game outside and then, oh well, we're going to move the game inside. It's a different game to me. That's okay. How I reconcile it.
I submit to you this. From the time Colangelo got here, okay, you've got to know what you're doing with that player. You have to know what you're doing with that player. And whatever you do, you've got to live by those consequences. I think he's paid to do a job. I think that.
Okay, Thomas, stay on the line, because we're going to talk this out. Look, you don't have to disagree. That's not a problem. I understand. But you have to know what you're going to do with the player. How would the fan base have reacted if in Chris Bosch's last year, because he didn't come clean like Carmelo or other people that said, I want to leave. He still let the franchise hold out hope that he might come back. And in his last year, at the trade deadline, a week or 10 days after the All-Star break, the team was sitting in the fifth spot overall in the East, 3.5 to 4 games behind the Celtics for the Atlantic Division lead. At what point would the fan base's reaction be like if at that point Brian Colangelo chose to trade Chris Bosch because he might not come back next year? Do you not think that up until that point, you know what you're doing, you're building, it looks like things are good? Hey, he gets hurt, things fall apart after that. Nobody can foresee injuries. But at the same time, do you think the fan base, what do you think the reaction would have been had he made that deal? To me, the same 50-50. People would have said, great deal. Other half would have said, give your head a shake. Oh, Thomas dropped. Okay, well, hey, man, call back, because I want to hear your reaction to that. And to me, reconcile things, Thomas. It's two different. You've got two different sets of circumstances to work with. So to me, that's how I can justify it. I don't think you compare the CEO of, you know, some big company to that of a pro franchise, because there are many more moving parts to me and unpredictable intervening variables in a pro sports franchise than there are in business, where things are maybe a little bit more tried and true, and there are patterns and there are histories in some cases. So, look, I'm not a businessman. I could be totally wrong, but that's what I think. Thomas is back.
Yep. He is. Go ahead, Thomas. You're back on the line.
Thomas, did you have a chance to hear everything I said?
No, there was a lot of static on the line, so go ahead. Sorry.
No, what I'm saying is it's like a game being played outside and then moving inside. The circumstances are different. And, again, I'm not a business guy, but to me, in pro sports, there are many moving parts, intervening and unpredictable variables that don't go in the business world, which I think makes it unfair to compare, quote, CEOs of, you know, some big company or big bank with that of, you know, a pro sports franchise.
No,
my take.
But the underlying thing here is a decision. CEOs or executives are paid to make big decisions. He's paid to make huge decisions for this business. And my thing is that with Chris Bosh being the player that he is at the fourth spot, you have to immediately come in and assess if that's the spot or that's the player, the spot on the floor that you want to build around. Now, if that's not the case, you move the player. If it is, you keep the player and you live with the consequences. If the player decides to leave, then guess what? You can't all of a sudden say, well, he didn't know. He's paid to make the decision based on what he wants, what he wants the chemistry to be. I am not confident. You guys are talking about cash being available. You guys are talking about free agency. I am not confident in Brian Colangelo, given the amount of financial blunders that he's made. I am not confident this summer that this guy can come and spend the cash to bring back this franchise. Well, I'm not confident.
Okay, Thomas.
I don't understand how anybody can be.
You're entitled to that opinion. But my question is, what would you have done with Chris Bosh? When are you trading him?
Okay.
When do you deal him?
Josie, my thing is, we've seen a lot of...
No, Thomas. We have seen a lot. I'm trying to have a discussion with you here. Would you have traded Chris Bosh, yes or no?
I would have traded Chris
when?
Bosh. At the time when I got here, I would have been shopping him. From the time Colangelo got here, he was trying to change the face of this entire franchise. And that was the time to say, you know what? Well, that summer or whenever it is, I am going to look to move Chris Bosh.
So the first summer you get here, you watch him and evaluate him for the last part of the 2006 season, and then you decide that you're going to trade him before you bring in eight or nine new players. Before you bring in eight or nine new players to work with him, you're going to trade him. Is that what you decide?
I decide that based on what the strength of the NBA, and the strength of the NBA is in the backcourt. That's what I want. And that's exactly what he went out and got in DeMar DeRozan. That's where the NBA is. That's where I'm setting my sights on, the backcourt, the wing position. That's where the NBA is now. That's where the NBA is with Kobe Bryant, with Carmelo Anthony. That's where the NBA is. Chris Bosh is a complimentary piece right now to wing guys.
Right, but you need those pieces. Thomas, for years, Kobe was putting up MVP numbers and had nobody with him, and the Lakers were an afterthought when it came to championships. And I'm not saying that you should go with strictly a big man. You need all parts. If you see Chris Bosh as a complimentary player, then he's a pretty good complimentary player, then you're right. Why don't you go out and get guys in the backcourt? But if you're going to trade Chris Bosh for strictly backcourt players, then you're going to need other pieces to come in. So, I see what you're saying. Hey, Thomas, we got other callers. I love the discussion. I see what you're saying. But at the same time, back to your original question, to me, there are two different eras, epochs, parts of Brian Colangelo's tenure that need to be evaluated. That's just the way I look at it.
The one thing I would say, because I let you and Thomas basically just have a show for the last 10 minutes, Jonesy.
Thank you.
Is that the decision was made, and Thomas obviously disagrees, and he's allowed to.
Sure.
The decision was made. He made the decision. to keep Chris Bosch and build around Chris Bosch, because he came in and evaluated, yes, this is the guy. And as much as Chris Bosch is a complementary piece now to two wing players, yeah, arguably the two best wing players, or two of the top three with Kobe Bryant being the other, or two of the top four with Kevin Durant being the other, in the league. We're not talking about complementary piece, due respect, to James Johnson and DeMar DeRozan. We're talking about Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Chris Bosh is still arguably a top 15, top 20 player in the league. The evaluation was made, and obviously, Thomas, again, you disagree, and you're, that's fine, you're entitled, but he did evaluate. He said, I believe he's a top forward, top player in this game, and I'm going to build around him. And whether it was fluke or whether it was skill in orchestrating that team that ultimately went from here to 47 wins in that first full year. And then from there on, he tried to improve the team by making moves that ultimately didn't work.
They were 2 years in the playoffs, and had a year out when they fired the coach, and then the last year missed the playoffs by a couple games, like a few days.
With a team that I would say...
Without Chris Bosch, too, at the end.
And we've said this to Bosch even when we talked to him. I think Bosch should have been playing. Should have been on the floor for those final games. And even in spite of Bosch not being there and the team just missing the playoffs and playing through all the crap that went on with Hedo Turkoglu over the course of the year, that was a move that was made and an acquisition that was made that could have, should have, would have been better than what it turned out to be.
Should have.
A team with Turkoglu, Bargnani, and Bosch, forget about anybody else, should be at the very least an eighth seed in the playoffs. Turkoglu did not live up to his end, and Turkoglu has been really on the decline since as well. Now, some will say, well, hold on, how did you not see that coming then? That's your job. Well, hold on a second. Guy's coming off fantastic years in Orlando, and okay, different style in Toronto, sure, but the guy's a heck of a creator. He can score. He can everything else. Well, how come then he can't do it going back to Orlando? What's wrong with him now? I just think that that was a move. At that time, how many general managers,
everybody,
not just Portland,
everybody,
how many GMs were trying to get Hedo Turkoglu as one of the top, if not the top, one of the top two, three free agents on the market, and a crazy deal with Colangelo and Steve Fruitman crunching numbers was orchestrated to get him here, and he was an absolute flop. I don't know that I necessarily put that on the general manager, and that's why I would agree, heck, I was the one that brought it up as well 15, 20 minutes ago, that I think you do have to assess the two different eras. And the reason I say that is you already, as ownership, or I guess technically, soon to be, previous ownership, you yourselves decided that you are judging two different eras because you had an opportunity to walk away if you wanted to, and you didn't. You said, no, we're going to see this through. We're going to sign at least a two-year deal. And now 1 year into the two-year deal, you didn't project that this, in all likelihood, was going to be a tough year. You had to have seen that it is going to be at least a two-year deal, but now the new ownership change does kind of cloud things in terms of, does new ownership want to come in and say, well, we're the new owners and we're going to give the money, but we're going to give the money to like this guy over here instead of that guy, as opposed to saying, no, we're going to stay with that guy. We're going to stick with the guy who's been here and show the confidence to put him in charge that much more to continue on this path that we're on, because we see last year's pick, this year's pick, second round picks, money to spend, the way the team's being orchestrated moving forward. And we will give you a bit of a longer leash to assess things. I would argue, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonesy, or if you don't agree, that, and I'm thinking for Bell and Rogers right now, based on the work ethic that's been put in place by Dwayne Casey, I'm going to guess they don't have a problem with the coach. So the coach is going to stay. The GM's the one that brought the coach in and made that move. And the GM is the one, whether you like the talent or not, that has put certain pieces in place that the coach is trying to get the most out of in this new defensive philosophy. And at least for this summer, he's going to be putting together the pieces to get that coach more players that play that style, that play that system, that are going to move forward next year. And then you're going to make a change?
New era.
I don't think you are.
It's totally different. New era. Yep.
So I think you give the opportunity to see it out for at least another year, and that's why the discussion of extension, quote-unquote, does come up, and rightfully so. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Hugo, Sebastian, many more. I know you've been patient hanging on. Got to ask you to stay tight for just a couple more minutes, and we'll get right back to you. I promise we're getting you on the air in mere moments on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey,
Join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
The Wrap.
On Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Phone lines open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. I promised we'd get back to them, and we will right away. In fact, right now. Sebastian in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, I just want to start off by saying, Eric and Jonesy, I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm a big supporter of the Raptors. And I just wanted to say that the atmosphere at tonight's game, compared to what it was at the Leafs game several weeks ago, is absolutely astounding. The Raptors put on a show. It's all about the show. It's absolutely fantastic. I want to make a big shout-out as well to all the front and center Dance Academy students who helped put on part of the halftime show tonight, a big dance performance. Everything about the Raptors is kid-friendly. It was unbelievable. Great show. The talent was great on the floor. Everybody was awesome. It was just a fun experience all around.
Thanks for the call, Sebastian. And I think that's the NBA experience in general. They try to make it family-friendly and make it a show. And I always recall the line of my mother-in-law, who is a big hockey fan, and she came to her first basketball game when the Raptors first were created back at the Dome. And it was a one-point loss to the Houston Rockets where Robert Horry hit a three-ball at the buzzer to win the game, and we walked out and we left the arena, and I said to my mother-in-law, I said, "So, Mom, what'd you think of the game?" And she said, "I had a riot. It was great. And, you know, the game was pretty good, too." It's the NBA experience.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Raptors tonight beating the Nuggets 105-96, 15,867. Hugo in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Good, Hugo.
It seems you guys had some spirited conversations there.
Best kind, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of a closet Raptors fan.
Well, come on out. Let's go.
It's difficult these days, but a couple things. One, I personally think the Colangelo era should come to a close. I understand it's extremely difficult to be a GM, let alone an NBA GM, managing egos, personalities, you know, player wants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this team, to me, has always seemed to have underperformed. Now, granted, I would honestly say that they've never had a good coach. Triano was great, but he's definitely not Dwayne Casey. This year is probably the first year, I would say, in definitely more than six, that I can sit back and honestly say it's not the coach's fault this time. You know, and Sam Mitchell, great guy, but he's definitely not a Dwayne Casey. But this team has not gotten to the playoffs for a long, long time. And close doesn't count. You know, close only counts in horseshoes and marbles. I think it's time for them to go in a different direction. I think they really need to assess the talent that they have. DeMar is great. Bargnani is great. But are these guys you could really and truly build around, get to the playoffs, and consistently compete? And I just wonder, like, I'm not trying to, like, argue with you guys because I know you've had a long night. But that's where I'm coming from.
Understand. Thanks for the call, Hugo. It's been three seasons without the playoffs? Four seasons.
Yeah, this would be the fourth, right?
Right. I'm just trying to think. 2006, 7, and 7, 8.
Yeah.
So it would be four seasons. Two seasons ago, the last of the Chris Bosh time here, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were playing meaningful games right up until the end of the year. And as I say, held a playoff spot from December 15th to April 15th. The problem was the season ended on April 18th. So, yeah, you're right. It's been three. This year will be 4 years without the playoffs, and that's tough. And when I think about people wanting, you know, or Thomas, for example, wanting the Bosch move to be made when Brian Colangelo came in, how many years out of the playoffs were they then? It was 01 that Vince missed the shot. 02, they got in without Vince and lost in five to Detroit. So there was 3 or 4 years there. And who knows how long it would have been had that move been made. I mean, maybe you'd have been back in already if that's the case. But I just think this is the proper rebuild right now. And, you know, if you want to, everybody has their opinion. If you want to dump the GM in the middle of it, go ahead. But he's the guy with the plan, whether you believe in it or not. He's the guy with the plan that looks like it's going in the right direction.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Mark in Georgian Bay, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't miss a game. I don't have TV or computer, and I really appreciate your knowledge and your input.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. For Chris Bosch, was he a sign and trade?
Yes, it was. And they got a trade exception that allowed them to get a few pieces. And more importantly in the deal, I believe their pick came back. And I'm not sure what the protection was on it, but the pick came back that turned out to be Jonas Valanciunas.
Oh, fantastic. I think Colangelo should be signed for another extension year. Sonny Weems, is he a tradable piece?
No, Sonny's in Lithuania, property of the Raptors anymore. He was a free agent at the end of last year, and with the lockout situation, chose to take a deal in Europe and a place to play in Europe. It sounded like Eric and I had his agent, Roger Montgomery, who was also the agent for Jeremy Lin. We had him on the air on the Hoop Show a couple weeks ago. It sure sounds like Sonny is planning on coming back to the NBA next year.
I thought he was a restricted free agent.
He is a restricted free agent, but I believe just kind of sort of reading the tea leaves there, Mark, that I don't see him being part of the Raptors' future.
Yeah, so we couldn't trade him though as a piece like Delfino.
I suppose you could
if in a sign and trade.
Yeah, if you signed him to the qualifier and nobody was willing to match, but they wanted to trade for him. I don't know why. I mean, if that's the case, then somebody would, if they wanted him outright, they'd just kind of outbid and away you go. So I don't know if they would do that. I think they'd probably just agree to let him walk away. Somebody'd make an offer, you wouldn't match, and away you go.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be happy here.
No, and that's why I say, Mark, I don't see him being back here. I mean, just, again, kind of reading through the tea leaves and reading through the comments that Roger Montgomery had on our airwaves a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Mark, I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for listening so intently. We appreciate you up in Georgian Bay listening. I think that you might be able to find that interview still on the Fan 590 website. So if you go to sportsnet590.ca and head into the audio section, you should be able to track down that interview. You might have to go through a couple of pages of interviews, because it's back again a couple of weeks on the Thursday Night Hoop Show. But if you go into Fan On Demand in the audio section, you might be able to track that down and listen in. And again, based on those comments from his agent, I would say that the probability of the divorce is there. Natasha in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good,
Natasha.
Okay, so I just wanted to shift the focus a little bit and get your take on Jose Calderon, because me and a friend have had like a back and forth battle about where we think he belongs, and I told him that I'd call you guys and get your guys' input on the situation. So personally, I'm a huge fan of Calderon, and I have been since he's played for the Raptors. And I just think he's a really good player who's so underestimated. And it's hard for him sometimes, I guess, to show his talent when he's on a team that doesn't win as much. And I feel like if he played for any other team that had an all-star with and he was their starting point guard, he'd be able to show everybody what he can do, just like he did with the Raptors when Bosch was playing. And I just feel like Calderon's style of play fits the Raptors so well. And, you know, I know Colangelo has said openly to the media that he's looking for a long-term point guard. And I personally just don't see why, after 7 years, he isn't able to consider that Jose Calderon, whereas he's contributed wherever he needed to. I feel like rebuilding the team obviously needs to happen, but I feel like it should be outside of Calderon and Bargnani, because I feel like those are two, and DeRozan, of course, because I feel like those are three of our really big assets. And you know, I feel like Calderon gets it to the big guy whenever he needs to. He reads the court so well. He's really good at passing the ball around the perimeter, great offense, you know, always gets the open shot, great free throw shooters, great driving down the lane. He's a low turnover kind of guy, and the list just goes on with him. And, you know, he does have some weakness with his defense. I mean, like, I'm openly admitting that. But other than that, I feel like he's so good, and people just don't have as much confidence in him. So I just wanted your take on where you think he fits with the team down the road.
Appreciate the call. Let's just say we agree with your side of the argument.
Yeah,
more.
We do. And we've said many times that Jose Calderon would look pretty good in New York or L.A. or, and you know, the way he looked on a division-winning team in Toronto with good players around him. He would. He's a championship-type player. You know, he's got his warts. He's got his weaknesses, as everybody does. But we know for a fact there were some, we won't name names here, but some high-quality teams that were extremely interested in Calderon and made a phone call to Toronto.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Those were the numbers, and you want to keep them in mind coming up on Friday as well, because we'll do this again on Friday and take your calls till 11 o'clock. But I can't grab any more right now. I apologize to those that we didn't get on the air. In fact, we took so many calls tonight over the course of the last hour and 20 minutes that we didn't even get to any of the audio for you and give you a chance to hear from any of the players. Chatting with Matt Brown, he was down in the locker room today covering things for us, Jonesy, and obviously Dwayne Casey, happy with the effort, especially in that fourth quarter. And Andrea Bargnani, who kind of set a bit of a milestone tonight, or at least moved amongst the ranks with all-time Raptor scorers. He cracked the 6,000 club and apparently didn't really seem to care a whole lot. And that's both good and bad, but I'd say more good. Yeah, okay, whatever. It's a stat. We've won 17 games. Let's move on. I want to concentrate on Miami on Friday. And that's kind of the attitude that Bargnani has a lot of the time, Jonesy, yeah. Where he doesn't seem to get too high for the highs and too low for the lows. He's kind of the same low-key personality no matter what.
He's
hit a couple of big shots, yeah, a couple of big shots in the fourth quarter, and even then, no fist pumps, no smiles, no nothing, just kind of going about his business.
He's pretty even keel, and that's a good way to be, especially the way the season can take you on a roller coaster.
Again, it's Friday the next time we're doing this. My apologies to those that didn't get on the air tonight. We'll be back at it right after the game. The Raptors and Heat tipping it off right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Jonesy and I will have the call, and then we'll stick on the air till 11 o'clock, take your phone call. So if you didn't get on the line tonight, make sure you give us a buzz back on Friday, and we'll have lots of time to talk then as well. Thanks to everybody involved in the broadcast. Dylan Brown down here at the ACC, also Aston Duport in the locker room, Matt Brown, and back at Raptors Central, Derek Brandeo and Gord Brunt. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. It's been The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.